Okay, moving along. We are now in Tiferet Yisrael, Perek Gimel. We spoke about a human being's natural inclination and fitness towards Torah and mitzvot. Now, what needs to be said about the Maharal does not like making things up. That can't be said for everyone, but the Maharal doesn't like making things up. Now, making things up sounds negative. Some people like to make things up, and they sound very nice, and they sound like Torah ideas, and they are, potentially. The Maharal likes to take everything from Chazal. And sometimes you'll see, you know, a statement, a wild statement of the Maharal that you don't know where he's coming from, where he takes it from, where his ideas are coming from. And we spoke about this aspect that he seems to work through things logically. He says, and if you want to ask this, well, then I'll say that. If you want to ask this, well, then I'll say that. You want to say I'm wrong because of this, well, what about this? And you say, wow, that really works out. That I identified immediately in learning the Maharal. But an additional aspect that he has, which I feel a number of Baalei Machshava are lacking, is everything that he says, he's going to back it up with Pesukim and Ma'amarei Chazal. He's going to make a statement, a philosophical statement, and he's going to try to explain it to you logically, and he's also going to say, and by the way, this is not just because I'm such a logical person, and so you should believe me because of my logic. You should believe me because this is shot in the following five psukim in Ma'amarei Chazal. Right? And he shows you, it's interesting, he has his parish on the Torah isn't really a parish on the Torah. It's a parish on Rashi on the Torah. And what he does is he basically shows you how his ideas are fundamentally found originally within Torah and the Midrashim that speak about it. But furthermore, he'll often call people out who give answers to questions that Chazal already answered. Right? Stam example that comes to mind. In Gvurot Hashem, one of the Maharal's Sfarim, he addresses a question which was, you know, what did Avraham or what did Klal Yisrael do wrong that we were punished with being in Mitzrayim for 400 years, ultimately 210 years? What did we do wrong? And he mentions that there are a number of answers to this question. Right, and he mentions the Ramban has an answer, and he mentions that the Ibn Ezra has an answer. Right? So he goes through the answers, and then he says, problem number one, Chazal asked this question in Masechet Nedarim, and they give an answer. So first of all, respect their answer, because if Chazal is giving an answer, there's something to it. And second of all, your answers aren't very good. And then he says, first of all, the problem is you're arguing with Chazal. Chazal already gave an answer to this question. And second of all, let me show you Pshat and Chazal's answer and tell you why it's so much better than yours. Here are the problems with your answers. Here are why their answers are qualitatively better than yours. But it's a shita that he has. It's a shita that he has. If he's saying a statement about philosophy isn't, you know, halacha you learn from Torah. Philosophy, you think about things and say nice ideas. Says, no. You want to talk about Jewish philosophy? That comes from Torah, that comes from Ma'amarei Chazal. We don't make these things up. As I mentioned in the beginning, Maharal fundamentally doesn't believe you can make these things up, because what exactly do you have in common with God such that you can perceive the way that He works naturally? What, you have so much, your human physical form can grasp the depths of God such that you can pontificate about how He works? You have nothing in common. You can only know what God tells you. End of story. And so because of that, he shows that he's going to make a statement. He's going to show you why that statement is logical. And he's going to show you, and this is pshat in this pasuk, and this is pshat in this midrash, and pshat in this ma'amar chazal. This is what they mean. This is what they're talking about. And that's, it's a really beautiful shita, and it's going to shine light on every random midrash or gemara you've ever learned in like a different context, in like a shir or here or there. Now you're going to understand them. Now you're going to understand them. And this is pshat. Here are all the ideas standing behind it that Chazal are operating on. So, let's get started. We just spoke about how a person is made up of a guf and a neshama. And he says, you shouldn't have a havamina as a person who has a neshama. You shouldn't have a havamina that you're a complete product. That you're a neshama. Your neshama comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In which case, I can sit all day, do absolutely nothing. Nothing of any significance, nothing of any value. At the end of the day, I'm still a neshama. And a neshama comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Wonderful. You know, I am what I am. I am what I'm supposed to be. Nothing I do or don't do changes the fact that I'm a neshama. That I have a neshama. It's a part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, you shouldn't think that. He says, let's walk through the Havamina. V'yichshov b'navsho shalom yieli af imeni yoshev batel mibli amel klal harei ha-ma'ala shalom madrigoto yagen alav al mekomo yashiv el mekomo yashivenu ve'el kanoch zirenu ki mishalo yiten lo ve'en tzarech liknot lo shum ma'ala. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me a chelek of him. I can do nothing. And the fact that he created me as such a high status, a spiritual being, with a neshama tahora, with a lev tahor, right? That will always be the case. So I can do nothing. I'm still a neshama tahora. Kadosh Baruch Hu created me b'madrega. No matter what I do, I can't be less than that madrega, right? That's how I was created. You shouldn't think that. Davar zeh mechashevet pigul lo yirtze ve lo yachshov kachu teud b'navsho v'chule v'chule v'chule. וכי יעלה על דעת האדם שנמצא לאדם מעלתו האחרונה בפועל, כי זה מדרגת העליונים. It says, here's where you're making a mistake. Let's walk through your mistake here. You think that you exist in your complete form, let's say. That you are, here's how I want to formulate it, I was thinking about this beforehand. You are everything you could be. Why? Because things that are from Shemayim are everything they could be. They're in their final evolution. They are everything they could be. You can call them perfect, but I prefer this formulation. An angel cannot be anything more than it is, and it already is everything that it can be. There's no development. A malach is a malach. It can't be any worse. It can't be any greater. It's important. It's powerful. It's significant. It is what it is. But it is already, from its outset, everything that it could possibly be. And you might want to say, I'm a Baal Nefesh. I have a Neshama. That Neshama is from Shemayim. And therefore, because it's from Shemayim, I am everything I could be. I am my Madrega. I don't have to do anything. It's a reasonable Havamina. You have a Neshama, and the Neshama comes from Shemayim. Maybe you're everything you can be. Everything in Shemayim is everything it can be. It's no work. You have a Neshama. But the lowest ones that are before, so I'm going to skip a part. The lowest ones that are before, because they are madrigata al-yonim. But the lowest ones that are before, because they are madrigata al-yonim. The lowest ones that are before, because they are madrigata al-yonim. Right? So what's the problem? The problem is, while you have a neshama that is mishamayim, and anything from Shemayim is everything that it could be, everything from earth, as we spoke about in the past, is deficient. It's lacking. Not just that it's lacking, it is definitively lacking. It is lacking in nature. It never can't be lacking. Because the very definition of something being natural means it's deficient. In which case, you are this unique contradiction. Right? A synthesis of two opposing ideas. Shemayim, which is already everything that it could be. And Aretz, which is deficient. And that contradiction creates the uniqueness of human beings, says the Maharal. Ki ha'elyonim shlemutam b'fo'al ve'enam tzrichim lotzi shlemutam b'fo'al. What's up in Shemayim is everything it could be, and there's no need for actualizing something that isn't already there. V'tachtonim zulat ha'adam ein lehem gam ken yitzia l'fo'al ki ma shenivru alav ein hishtanut v'yotzi l'fo'al lehem. Oh, and what's of a natural product on this earth? Oh, well, it's not perfect. It's not everything it could be. But it also can't change. It doesn't have the power to change. So what's in Shemayim doesn't change because it's already everything it could be and it never will be anything less or more. And what's on the Aretz can't change, not because it's already everything that it could be, but because by very nature it can't change. And so what is human being? What is the unique nature of a human being? Ach ha'adam hu bekoach v'yotzei l'poel. A person is deficient. A person is deficient. That exact sure. A person is deficient but is changing. And that's the brilliance of a person. A person is not already everything that they could be, but they have the power to make themselves more than they are. So what defines a human being is one word. One word. Potential. Something unique. Technically, something spiritual can't have potential because it already is what it could be. Something physical, it has potential use, but it has no means of extracting it for itself because it can't change. It'll always be what it is. A human being is not everything they could be, but could make themselves into more than they are. And that's the resolution of the contradiction. Because in the fact that a human being has a neshama, so it should have everything, it should be perfect. It does have everything. It just doesn't have everything before. It has everything, what the Maharal calls, bekach. It's not actually there. It's there in potential. Because it's a neshama, so it's perfect. So it needs to have everything. Oh, but it's a goof, so it's deficient, so it can't have everything. Oh, so it has everything, just not in actuality, only in potential. That is the resolution of the contradiction of our existence. Potential. Human beings are raw potential. We could be more than we are, but we are not everything we could be. And yet, we all exist as walking potentials for what we ideally could be. Debating whether I want to bring this up. I want to bring it up. Okay, I was very shocked to hear an identical idea presented by Jordan Peterson, for those familiar. Almost identical in a biological sense. Because that's, he speaks about DNA basically as being born with your entire biological potential already inherent in the existence that you are. Everything that you will ever be is a function of everything that you were when you were born, just in potential. And that reminded me so much of the Gemara in Nida, or is it Daf Lamed, I think, right? That you learn all of the Torah in your mother's womb, but then the Malach comes and makes you forget it, right? I think that's the idea. You're taught when you are, before you are born, everything you will ever know. So that you'll be born with almost a predetermined potential for everything that you could ever be. And I think that the Maharal speaks about this not from a biological perspective, but from a spiritual perspective. As this is the resolution between the two contradictory beings that we are. Okay. Here's where it gets geschmack. Ready? He says, V'yira sheshmo more al davar ha'atzmo, ha'atzmi lo. The name is a reflection of what a human being is. We are Adam. Now, why are we called Adam? Because we're from a Adama. Says the Maharal, aren't all creations from the earth also? Aren't all creations originally from the dirt, from the earth? Why are we the only ones called Adama? He says, because we're similar to Adama. You look at dirt, right? And what do you see? You see nothing. It's dirt, literally, right? It's a nothing. And yet, look at nature. Forests, trees, plants. How much sprouts from earth that cannot sprout from anything else? Right? The most complex elements, materials in the world cannot produce from them what the earth can produce. Why? Because the earth is rich with the vitamins and minerals needed to produce literally everything we need in this world, for that matter. Trees and plants and food and sustenance and oxygen and medicine, everything exists in the earth, but the earth itself gives you almost nothing. But in the earth is everything we need for existence. Where is that in the earth? Take earth. Try to make oxygen out of it. Try to make food out of it. You can't. But deep down, on a molecular level, exists the vitamins and minerals within the earth that produces literally everything we need for existence. Earth is, in a physical sense, one word: potential. And we are, in a spiritual sense, potential. And that is why Adam is called Adam, because we are like the Adama, because we are both raw potential. We're born as everything that we'll ever need, but nothing is going to be revealed on its own. It's all there, but we need to bring it into reality. And that is why, explains the Maharal, he says, how do I know this? He says, first of all, yeah, the name's a good raya. The name's a good raya. But that's also why spiritual perfection and development is referred to by a very weird, interesting word. Pre. Fruit. Spiritual development and perfection is called fruit. Really? Fruit, ma kesher. Torah, mitzvah, you're a tzaddik, wonderful. That's fruit right there. Why? Because the executed potential of earth is fruit. And therefore the executed potential of Adam is also called fruit. Wonderful thesis. How do you know? Well, the Maharal gets quoting. Right? He says as follows. V'cheinu Adam yotzei kochal ro'eh. V'lekach shleimut ha'adam nikra ken gam ken b'shem pri. K'nichtiv b'kra. Look in Yeshayahu, Perek Gimel. Amru tzadik ki tov ki pri ma'alehem yachlu. Haresh ha'zichut v'ashleimut yikra pri. Right? The perfection, the merit that is awarded to a tzaddik, Yeshayahu calls a fruit. Right? Ki tzaddik ki tov ki prima alehem. Yeshayahu calls our spiritual perfection a fruit. Why would he call spiritual perfection a fruit? Because a pri is the actualization of the potential of Adama, and spiritual perfection is the actualization of the potential of Adam. It's that simple. But it doesn't stop there. We have another raya for this. Kamosha Amru Perak Kama the Kedushin Perak Egla Arufa. Two places in Kedushin and in Sota, we have the following strange lashon by Egla Arufa, right where we cut off the head of an egel, of a calf, from the back of its head to atone for a person. Who was killed. We don't know who his murderer was. We don't know whose responsibility it is. So we perform the Egla Arufa. And the parak is as follows. V'horidu et Egla el Nachal Eitan. Amar B'Yochanan ben Shaul. Mipnei ma Amra Torah heve Egla ben Nachal. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu yavo davar shelo asa perot. V'yarof b'makom she'eno ose perot. Bishvil mi shelo einicho oto la'asod perot. Why do you bring an Egla al-Rufa to a river to kill it? So you take something that's never had perot, never had fruit. What does that mean? He's never had children, because he's an Egla, he's a calf, he's young, right? And you bring it to a place that doesn't produce perot, a nachal, a river, to atone for the death of someone who won't have the opportunity to have perot. Okay, well, what does perot mean? My perot. What does perot mean? Ilema piri avaribya. Say, it's having children. A man doesn't have children. Azakein v'asaris hachanami dilor finan ela mitzvot. Okay, well then, what about a zakein? What about a saris? Right? An old person or someone who's castrated, right, who cannot have children, right? What do you say about them? Rather, no, we're not talking about someone who didn't have the opportunity, who never had the opportunity to produce perot, rather, to have kids, rather, we're saying something more universal that can apply to everyone. Someone who didn't have the opportunity to do mitzvot. Someone who didn't have the opportunity to do mitzvot. Right, because a zaken and a saris can't have kids. Right, you're either too old, or you're or you're castrated, you can't have kids. So we're excluding them from this din. But everyone could have done mitzvot. And that's why pshat in the Gemara is that pri here is a reference to mitzvot. And particularly, someone who did not have the opportunity to perform mitzvot is called someone who didn't have the opportunity to produce peirot. Again, why do we call it peirot? Because we're like Adama. Adama produces peirot. It's the actualization of its potential. Mitzvot are the actualization of our potential. Okay. Furthermore, it's not just the name Adam that is a reflection of, in essence, who we are. Rather, even animals, the name is a reflection of what they are. Right? This is Gishmak. What's an animal? How do you call an animal? A behema. Al lashon ba ma. What you see is what you get. Ba, what's in it, betocha, what's in it, ma, is all it is. That's all it is. That's all it'll ever be. You're looking at, everything you're looking at is everything it will ever be. That's ba, ma. It'll never be anything more. Now, an angel will also never be anything more. That's the way it's created. An animal will never be anything more, not because it has the perfect status of an angel, but because it has no opportunity to change itself. Ba ma. Omnam, says the Maharal something very interesting here. He says, okay, what do we do? Oh, difficult theological issue. Someone didn't have the opportunity. We start off with the premise that you can't just sit back and rely on your madrega to carry you to Shemayim because you're a neshama. No, no, no. Your raw potential, you need to actualize. What do you do with someone who was never given the opportunity to actualize their potential? They died young. They were ones. Tinuk shenishba. Right? Tinuk shenishba. Didn't know what Torah was. They never were given the opportunity to actualize your potential. Yes, all your question.
Yeah, on the assumption from the beginning, you have a consolation on the fate and your mother. I do learn from
your
fate.
Oh. You're already mechab. Next question of the Maharal is... It's not exactly the next question. It's not exactly the next question. Right? It's not exactly the next question. The idea... But it's similar. It's similar. So if that doesn't answer your question, we'll go back and talk about it. It's similar. It says, what do you do with someone who dies too early to actually achieve their goal or to even ever have this opportunity? He says, that's not a kasha. Now, this isn't the primary place that he talks about it, so he kind of just mentions it, the katsar, and then goes on. But he says, if you're going to do a mitzvah, you want to do a mitzvah. You're fit to do a mitzvah. Then you already get schar from it. But what if you die before you could ever do any mitzvah? Says Maharal. Well, we give you the schar as if you did it. Well, that's kind of odd, because we just said, you can't just do nothing. You can't just do nothing. How you're going to do nothing and get olam haba? You died too young, fine, you didn't have the opportunity to, I get it, but you still didn't do anything. Why does that change? Because the deficiency was mitzad haguf. You didn't lack the performance of the mitzvah mitzad ha-neshama. And again, the neshama is perfect. The neshama is perfect, and it only has to work on itself once it's in the goof. That's when perfection turns into potential. When perfection meets imperfection and it synthesizes, you have something called potential. Where it's not perfect, but it could be. So says the Maharal, when where you lack in your performance is mitzad haguf and not mitzad haneshama, that's when you get the schar of the neshama. It's only when you're together and you're deficient both in the goof and the neshama, that we take away your schar. But If you're not deficient in the realms of the neshama, and you're only deficient in the realms of the guf, then you get the neshama, then you get the schar that the neshama would have gotten. What does that mean? Second, what does that mean? Let's talk this out. What does that mean? That means if you die too early, it wasn't that you weren't spiritually fit, and it wasn't that you were not going to do any mitzvot. It's that your goof prevented you from doing mitzvot. Similarly, if you try to do a mitzvah and you do not have the capacity to, for some reason or another, you tried your best, you don't have the capacity to, then we're not going to punish you. Because the deficiency was mitzad ha-guf, but your neshama is perfect. It's only when you introduce deficiency mitzad ha-neshama that you get punished. Right? And how do we know that to be the case? Because you're only punished by doing something b'mezid. If you do it b'shogeg or b'ones, you're not punished. Why? You did it. You did something wrong. I don't care that you didn't have kavana. You did something wrong. Or you just didn't do something right. No, it's because doing something b'mezid is a chet, not just with your body. Who cares about what your body did? Doing something b'mezid is a chet with your dat. You intended to do something wrong. Your dat is your seichel elyon. That's your spiritual tie to the most spiritual part about you. It is the divine intellect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. You're using the most divine characteristic that you have control over to do a chet in Aveira. Now you're sinning with your neshama. And that's why you're punished. But if you're only sinning with your guf and not your neshama, like if you're ones, or if you never had the opportunity to do mitzvah, or if you totally lacked kavana, it's not a sin with your neshama. And your neshama is perfect. So sure, when your neshama and your guf get together, so you're not perfect, you're just potential. But if we totally isolate the guf, then we're left with a neshama. And we give you the reward that's ra'ui to go to a neshama like yours. Even though you didn't have the opportunity to actualize it. Because the goof forces you to actualize something. But the goof isn't involved here, it's only the neshama. And he goes on and says as follows. Right? It's a mafarsh. Again, Maharal doesn't make things up. He says it's a mafarsh gemara. The gemara in bracha. Chasha chishev laso mitzvah. You wanted to do a mitzvah. Venenas. Yeshua says schar ke'ilu asaha mitzvah. You have a reward, you get schar as if you actually did the mitzvah. Why? You didn't do it. Who benefited? Who did you help? You thought to give tzedakah, you didn't. The man, the homeless man has no more money. He doesn't benefit from you. Yeah, but you get the schar as if you gave it. Because mitzad ha-neshama, everything was there. It was only mitzad ha-guf that it was lacking. And that's pshat in the Gemara. Similarly, based on taking this whole understanding of the essence of man being potential, we have the Gemara in Perek HaChelek. The Gemara in Perek HaChelek just tells you perfectly, in explicit words, man is endless potential. How? Adam le'amal yoled. It's not from Sanhedrin, it's pasuk. Adam le'amal yoled. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, ein yode im lam al peh im lam al malacha. Okay, a person is made for toil. First and foremost, what's the difference between amal, amelut, and malacha? Work and work. Work and work. Why amal? What's amelut? Yeah.
It's malacha in the neshama.
Ah, malacha is only the goof and toil in the neshama. And at least in the Havamina, we're going to see that Amelut at least could be in the goof. Amelut, there's a reason I'm translating it as toil. Yeah. Oh. I don't know which one you were saying that on. That's the right chiluk. I'm just not, yeah. I would say the opposite. Malacha. Malacha is you need a result.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. A malacha is a specific work. Building something is a malacha because the building is the product. Right? A melut is toil. It's endless in its nature. There's no specific end point here. It's just work. Constant work. Which is this weird contradiction because you're always productive, but never completing anything. Potential. The ability to always be growing and productive without ever having a finished product. That's potential. Yeah.
Would that be connected to Shabbos and
then Shabbos if you actually got any results? Interesting. Yeah, well, malacha is what's asur on Shabbat, right? And because the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just rest on Shabbat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the idea of rest on Shabbat. It was 7 days of creation. Because rest didn't exist before Shabbat. All that existed beforehand was a melut. Constant toil. Shabbat is the chiddush that there is an end point. And that's why it's malacha that's asur on Shabbat. Because that is work with an end point. A melut is work with no end point. That's why we don't say a melut is asur on Shabbat. Right? So, the Gemara goes on to say, okay, a person is made to toil. Constant work. Constant work. That's what a person's made for. The Eini Yodea im la'amal pe im la'amal melacha. But I don't know if that means physical endeavors, physical work, or a melut pe. A melut pe. Toil of the mouth. What's toil of the mouth? I don't know. Kshehu omer nefesh amla mela lo ki akaf alav pihu habe omer la'amal pe. But when we say in the Pasuk, it links the nefesh of a person with a melut peh. So I understand that we're talking about the toil of the mouth. I don't know what that means. The toil of the mouth. But that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about a person wasn't created for physical toil. A person was created for verbal toil. V'adayin eni yodea im la'amal Torah im la'amal sicha. Verbal toil. Does that mean through learning Torah? Or does that mean through talking, through speech? Kshehu omer lo yamush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha ve'igita bo yomam v'layla habe omer lamal Torah. But when he says that your mouth, that the sefer Torah should always be in your peh, in your mouth, I understand that it's le'amal, it's for Torah. That it's not just tam sichot betelot, that it's for verbal toil in the realms of Talmud Torah. So what does this mean? Explains the Maharal that there are three ways that you can differentiate a human being from other animals. As we started, malacha is something that's uniquely human. So much so that we had a havamina in the first shir, that maybe that's why we were created. Because thought out work is not something animals can do. So maybe sure, we were created for what? Actualization of potential. That's our working definition of amelut, according to the Maharal. We were created for actualization of potential. In what realms? Meaning, how unique is our responsibility to actualize potential? Is it a function of our physical distinctions from animals? We can both work with our goof, but we can be more productive with it. Maybe we were created... See, we have to be different from the animals. So maybe we were created to toil and be different in the area of physical malacha. To be a little bit better than the animals, but completely in the realms of physical endeavors. Oh, but that's when we introduce the idea of the peh. Now, why is peh significant? Because what is a higher level distinction between human beings and animals? Speech. No, so maybe we were created to use our speech to bring about our own perfection, to translate potential into actualization. Meaning maybe our very essence is even more removed from the essence of animals. To use our speech to perfect ourselves. You could say maybe we were created to use our physical means to perfect ourselves, still better than the animals because they can't. But no, that's not the case. Well, maybe we were created to use our speech to perfect ourselves, our language, our communication to perfect ourselves, even better and even more different from the animals. Still, that's not enough. From what I learned from Lo Yamush, the essence of the value of our speech is Torah. In which case, I learned that we were created to use Talmud Torah to actualize our potential. That is what the Gemara in Sanhedrin learns. We know that human beings were created to actualize potential. That is what amelut means. Constant work. Constant. Bring things from potential into existence. That's what amelut is. It exists in potential. You see it in your mind. It could be. This clay could be a pot. This stone could be a building. Now bring it into actualization. And the constant form of that would be toil, because it's not for any one product. So human beings were definitely created for actualization of potential. But how lofty is that purpose? Maybe it's for a physical actualization of potential. But then we bring a pasuk to say it's not physical, it's through speech. Okay, then maybe it's a human actualization of potential. Then we bring in the pasuk that links the Torah to our speech and know that the essence of our speech is from Talmud Torah. And then I realize that that human beings were created in essence for the actualization of potential only in the realms of Torah. We were created to use Torah to actualize our potential through Talmud Torah. By the way, the Maharal believes that Talmud Torah needs to be through speech. Needs to be through speech, not even the mitzvah of Talmud Torah if you're not speaking. And you don't need to make a Birkat Torah if you're not going to say it out loud. And he has a ton of thought behind that idea. Not how we generally pass in the halacha. But he's consistent. And he has a tremendous amount of thought behind that idea. So it's speech in Torah. Speech in Torah is used to actualize our potential. And then he goes on to say, and don't think that you can ever be sated. Meaning, what is a amelut? It's constant work with no rest. Yes, because you are constant development with no end result. How are you constant work with no end result? Well, because as long as you're human, you're deficient, right? In which case, there's never an end product. So you can always work. But I know what you're going to say. But what about mitzad ha-neshama? The neshama is shayach el-shleimut. The neshama could be perfect. How is it that I can do so much Torah and mitzvot and not become shalem, not become complete? I understand the goof will always be deficient. But will the neshama will never be completed by all the Torah and mitzvot that I'm doing? Says the Maharal, no, it won't be. Why? So he brings in Kohelet Rabbah. Gam ha-nefesh lo timale. The nefesh, the neshama, it'll never be filled up. Never, it'll never be sated with what you do. Levisha hanefesh yodat seichel asher tigal atzma tigal afikach ein asavat mitzvot masim tovim. Because the nefesh knows what perfection looks like. The nefesh is beyond this world. It's not even shayach here. And then we bring in a famous mashal that I'm sure many of us are familiar with. Rabbi Levi, Amar Rabbi Levi, Mashal Ironi Shaya Nasui Bat Malachim. Right? A city dweller, an urbanite, who was married to a Bat Melech, a princess. He can give her everything in the world, and she's not going to be sated. Let's be clear. He can give her everything even fit for her. He can bring food from the palace and give it to her. But she's never going to be sated. Why? Because etzem achibur is a problem. It's not rowing. The very bond that ties them is a contradiction. They're not shayach to each other. The ben ir and the Bat Melech. He could bring her everything. But at a certain point, it doesn't matter what she's receiving. It matters who the essence of the bond between them, which is not fitting. She is fit for something more than he is. no matter what he gives her, it's not going to resolve the problem, that the deficiency isn't in what he's giving. The deficiency is in the nature of the connection, that he is not fit. And the nature of the connection between the neshama and the guf is not a fitting connection. We can give the neshama all the Torah and mitzvot that it wants, it's just never going to be satisfied. Why? Because it's with a guf that it's not fit for. It's made of greater stuff. It's a higher being. The guf is just never going to be able to give what the neshama needs. You can give it all the Torah and mitzvot it wants, but it will never not be thirsty. It will never be sated. Because the nature of the connection itself is lacking. It's not fit for the neshama. In which case, you can work your entire life. Do Torah and mitzvah your entire life. Try to complete yourself your entire life. And you'll always be productive, but you'll never be perfect. Because the nature of the guf is not to be perfect, and the nature of the neshama needs more than what the guf has to offer it. So, we're a creation that's defined by potential. Never-ending potential. Constant productivity with no possibility of shleimut until the neshama is reunited with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. In Shemayim. In a kesher that's fit for it in its very essence. Then it can be shalem. In this world it can never be shalem. So your malacha, or rather your amelut, will never run out. Your constant potential, constant productivity. You'll always have the potential to be more than you are. But you'll never be everything that you could be. That is the very essence of man. I'll stop here.